This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackey and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Always doubting about him is every time he plays in one of these important games, we all see him stink, except for the one playoff game on the road against New Orleans.
Right.
The one game against New Orleans where we're like, oh, he made the throw at the end, and he beat Drew Brees on the road, and we're like, maybe we can talk ourselves into it. But otherwise, there's no one else in the sport who has quite this reputation, Stugatz. If you put him as the sole game and he's not playing at 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock with a bunch of other games,
right,
you're going to lose that game, and everyone's going to say Kirk Cousins and stinks. That's a weird thing to have draped around your neck.
Dude, I mean, oh man. National shows are talking about him. Do you think he consumes media like that? Do you think, like, some guys say, I block out the noise, like Tom Brady, but you know that Tom Brady reads everything. Right. Do you think Kirk reads everything?
He's such a weird guy, but my guess is yes. And I also think that if Kirk doesn't, the people around Kirk definitely do and tell Kirk.
Well, like when he did like some of those interviews, like around other, you know, random podcasts, he said his wife is the one who organized them. So he like,
and doesn't his wife run his, she like wardrobe. Posts tweets for him?
Yeah. Like, yes. Like he runs his social account. He dresses him. It's all really weird.
The Cousins' parents, I think, definitely read everything. I think mom and dad for sure do.
Well, dad saw a clip from our show and deleted his Twitter account.
Well, it was very smart since he was tending to like things that were anti-Mike Zimmer at the time.
Which was great. He should. And it was his. I think the things he was liking that were anti-Zimmer were valid points. Don't then put your tail between your legs and delete your account. Don Cousins, come back to social media. It's a safe space. Come back to Twitter. We will welcome you with open arms. This is Mackey and Judd, by the way. Daily Minnesota Sports Entertainment. And this week, more than ever, therapy for you guys. We will get to Write That Down predictions and an accountability session today. Also on the Score North YouTube channel. If you could click the subscribe button, that would be great. But let's get to him. He is the most passionate Vikings fan we know. He has become our resident mock drafting expert over the years, correctly predicting multiple Vikings draft picks through his study and his knowledge. He is Randy Vikes 69 on Twitter. Randy in Cottage Grove.
I don't understand the clapping and wooing, for a game like that.
Well, it's the in-studio audience that's clapping and wooing for you because they love what you have to say.
Any guy?
Oh, there! Oh, wow!
There they go again.
Oh, there they are.
Hello, thank you, thank you. Any gals?
Let's hear. Let's see. Are any gals in the crowd?
Oh yeah!
There's a couple. There's a couple gals in the crowd.
It's Randy Vikes 69, and the DMs are open.
Okay, well, this isn't an online dating platform here, but we can put the word out. Yeah. Okay, if there's any, do you like to date fellow Vikings fans, or do you not like to mix business with pleasure?
Mm. I don't really date. More of a rambling man, but we have a good time at the bar, and sometimes it gets a little out of hand. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
So many questions off of that I'm not going to ask.
Yeah,
The Chill Boys are on the way, by the way. So I hope they're on the way because I need to get that under control for some of these dates.
Well, what are you most looking forward to about Chill Boys, Randy? The most comfortable underwear that anyone is ever going to wear.
Just kind of calm it down, sort of tame the fire, as it were.
Yeah. Chill Boys, taming the fire on chillboys.com. It's a Minnesota-based company. But we have all thrown away all of our non-Chill Boys underwear so we can live and walk and sleep in comfort. And it's almost long underwear season. And if you haven't tried Chill Boys long underwear, you have not lived life.
I got two pairs to so I can rotate.
You might want to wash them once in a while.
Depends on the kind of day you had.
You can run a pair for three or four days. Sometimes easy. It's fine. You just got to give it a whiff and take it a whiff and then take it after the shower. Take a whiff of yesterday's chill boys, and if they're good, pop them back on.
Oh, you're going back to them. Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Well, maybe the bamboo fabric is more self-cleaning than I'm giving you credit for. Chillboys.com. Tell them Score North and Purple Daily sent you. So, well, how you doing a couple days after kind of an embarrassing situation on Monday night for our Vikings?
We, as I said, the first effort against Green Bay was much more what we're after, and that we got rewarded with at the bar with touchdown shots and sack shots, which are new this year. Didn't have as many this week, did we?
No, I don't. You probably didn't get a buzz at all, actually.
Yeah, one touchdown.
There were a couple of sack shots. That we got to have, and we got the one touchdown. But you know, when Smith Jr. Is dropping that one, that could have been a shot right there. Could have changed the whole dynamic of the game. Could start the whole thing with a different kind of momentum. Yeah. You know, but he dropped it, and then the bartender put the bottle back, and we didn't get to have that shot. And you always know it's a bad night when you go home stone sober, because the team didn't hold up their end of the bargain, and it's just a good meter of how did the Vikes play. Are a couple people needing a ride home? Maybe then they had a great day. We did our job on both ends at the bar, on the field.
You're not giving people rides home though, right, Randy?
Well, there's a shuttle. It goes around the neighborhood.
Thank God.
We just draw for it. But the whole problem with what they did is they wet themselves. You know, they go into Philadelphia and they back down from the bully. This team, the Eagles, aren't good. They're going to go, I don't know, who knows, maybe 10-7, 11-6.
Wait, you don't think the Eagles are good after watching them the first 2 weeks?
They're okay. They just they got those fans that get in your head, and I've tussled with a couple of Eagles fans in the past. One time at a TJ Maxx, and he was very upset that I was trying to purchase the same same sort of what they call like a starter jacket, and this wasn't even an Eagles or a Vikings jacket. It's just a cool looking jacket. But I saw he had a Deuce Staley jersey on. This is some years ago. And I told him to kiss my ass right in front of them. And they're not used to that. You got to give them what they dish out. Throw it right back in their face, Eagles fans. You got nothing. You guys got nothing.
You can never trust a guy in a Deuce Staley jersey. Just want to make that note.
Was this an actual fight? Like, did you throw hands with an Eagles fan in a TJ Maxx?
I told him to kiss my ass. I'm buying the jacket, and I did. And then on the way out, he's walking to his car with no jacket, and I yelled, "Staley sucks." and then that was that. But we could have come to blows. You got to be ready to know when you need to ramp it up and say, this is going to be a different sort of encounter than I expected. They didn't do that. They just stuck to his plan and said, "Well, we'll get there. Some of these plays will start popping, and it'll open up for us." Well, it did, and then the guy, the sculpted. He's got sculpted eyebrows. I can tell you that much. The guy, he runs. You know, Hurts runs, and you gotta contain that. That's the new NFL. I got news for you. You know, Ziggy, if you think you can just roll out the normal plan, not going to work.
Randy, go ahead, Phil. Go ahead.
Kirk led the Vikings in rushing yards. I mean, maybe that's the key. Maybe you need to let Kirk roam around a little bit more and use his legs like Jalen Hurts. You know, that's one of my takeaways.
He's a bozo, and I'm still not sold on him. And in fact, do the thing. I'm going to do it. He's in this stable.
Okay.
Should we do the stable?
Let's do a stable.
Yeah, we got to fire up.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
music for Randy. You know,
every week when the Vikings win, we get a stud stable from Randy in Cottage Grove. And because they lost, this will be the dud stable for week two.
This is week two. It's a primetime game, is what this was, against the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, fly Eagles fly is what they say. Well, we pee Vikings pee down our legs is what happened.
Yeah.
And this is what happens there. And this is frustrating. And it's a 1-1 now instead of a 2-0. We would have vaulted into some of the conversation top echelon teams. And instead, we're licking our wounds. And we're licking our wounds. And there's three main duds here, the reason why. So, number one dud. This happened early in the game, but it's left a stinky smell in the air and a bad taste in everyone's mouth. And that's a big, big drop when you got to have, you know, Cousins. Some of the throws he made were awful. This one was right on the money, as they say. And he dropped it. Old Butterfingers went right through. He shouldn't get to wear number 84. Not after that.
Amen.
Not after that. This is Irv Smith Jr. Irv, you're a dud.
Amen. Randy and I have never been more in lockstep on this. You can't, in good conscience, continue to wear the number 84.
Change his number, and you change his number until he proves it. Make him 83 or whatever you need to do.
Next 83 up. And a half. Didn't Conklin wear 83? I don't know if he deserves to wear Conklin's number.
I think he did.
He's got to find a different, maybe Shanko's number. Who's wearing number 81? BC Johnson? He's on IR. Let's find a more appropriate number.
You'll go ahead and work on that. I got film to break down. But next dud. I'm sorry, I forgot it was a loss. Next dud. This is the guy who really makes me just absolutely removes the air out of any snugness you might have of the first week, and that's a guy who just gets out there, and every time the lights are brightest, seems to just absolutely become a pool of his own urine. And that's Kirk Cousins. Kirk, you're a super dud.
You like that? You like that?
Hard to disagree there.
A pool of his own urine.
And now there's the super duper dud, who's the guy who gets the top spot in this unfortunate stable that you don't want to be in. And this guy may notice he wasn't in the studs table last week. He wasn't in the studs table last week. Last week was Zalarius Smith, who still looked pretty good this week, and Justin Jefferson and KOC. Well, this guy didn't make it in. And based on the way he played this week, he's going to have to prove it a couple of times before he gets in a studs table. You better go out there and be ready for the Lions. Better be ready. Until then, you better look in the mirror, because this week, Kirk Cousins, you are a super duper dud.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow, we're going...
You like that? You like that?
Kirk Cousins taking up two of the three dud stable spots, Randy.
Oh, he's gone.
Randy?
He's gone.
He's gone.
I had
he's
gone for him.
But hold on a second. Okay. So I thought we were going to get, like, a new name, a Harrison Smith or something. So he just doubled up on Kirk.
Well, I guess when you're a pool of your own urine.
Right.
Just helplessly flailing around in Philadelphia. I guess you deserve to take up two of the three dud stable spots.
Did Randy say that when they're all drunk in the bar after touchdown shots that they do a drawing for who's going to run the shuttle home?
No. Well, I think they. Well, maybe.
Yeah, it's probably,
he said they do a drawing.
It's some type of, you know, short straw or.
No, I know. But what I'm concerned about is, like, if you do a drawing, I take it that's for the driver? That's for the person who has to drive?
See, that's an interesting question. I took it to mean there's limited spots on the shuttle, and they do a, like, there's 20 of them watching the game, and they do a drawing for, like, the six shuttle spots or something. But I hadn't thought about that it's like driver roulette or something, which sounds very dangerous, and we do not encourage that behavior on the show.
But I'm just saying, I think it is that. I think it's the short straw. I had a follow-up for him because Deuce Staley coaches for the Lions. He is their assistant coach and their running backs coach. And Deuce Staley is going to be here. So I wanted to know if Randy was planning to maybe run into Deuce at a local establishment maybe later this week when Man Campbell gets into town.
Deuce Staley, I feel like he was always a hot name in fantasy like 20 years ago.
I'm like looking
at... And then
he
never quite lived up to what you thought he was going to do.
I'm like looking up his numbers, and even Pro Football Reference has like a fantasy tab where they'll like rank the position ranks. And I don't know if they like the position ranks through ESPN or Yahoo or whatnot. But from 98 through 2002, He was a top 15 running back in fantasy for 4 out of 5 years.
Really?
He was a pretty solid.
That's a nice run.
Him and Brian. I mean, the Eagles had him and then Brian Westbrook for a long time. He was a solid little player. He was a early kind of PPR guy. Caught 63 passes in 2001. What running back was catching 63 passes in 2001?
That's pretty impressive. It was basically him, like LaDainian Tomlinson caught a bunch of passes. Yeah. Actually, I just pulled up the 2002 NFL rushing leaderboard, and it's just hilarious to remember some of these names, man. Deuce McAllister.
Oh, Deuce. Football. The Deuce.
You guys remember Eddie George?
Hell yeah.
From Ohio State and the Titans?
Eddie George. I saw him play in college.
Yeah.
Me too. I saw him run for about 300 yards against the Gophers one time.
I went to a Metrodome game. It was the Gophers, not surprisingly, got their ass kicked by the Buckeyes. But that was the Buckeyes team that I want to say had Eddie George, Orlando Pace.
Wow.
Yes.
Joey Galloway. They had like 4 first-round picks. And not surprisingly, put up a ton of points on the Gophers.
You know, Eddie George, it's not that long ago, man. You know, it's 20 years ago. But now, maybe a couple guys get to 300 carries. You might see the bell cows, like Derrick Henry might get to 300 carries or Jonathan Taylor. Eddie George in 2000,
oh my God,
carried the ball 403 times and caught 50 passes. He touched the ball 453 times in an NFL season.
And he was tough, too. He didn't sit out.
Tough, isn't
he? He didn't miss games.
3.7 yards per carry.
No,
he did not miss a game. He played all 16 games every season from 1996 through 2003.
That's absurd.
And then finally the wheels. And by the way, the last couple years, he was just grinding like 3 yards a carry, 3.5 yards a carry. Just never would have continued at that pace in today's NFL. Here's a 2,000 rushing yards leaderboard. Jerome Bettis.
Football.
Corey Dillon.
Oh,
didn't Corey Dillon set the record, like the record for rushing yards in a game at one point?
Right before Peterson did. Was he with the Ravens by that time? Because Jamal Lewis did. Because Chester Taylor played with him in Baltimore,
yep,
and then came here and was the backup to Peterson in 06 when he set the record. That's what it was.
God, there were literally, this is insane. Okay. This is the bell cow era of NFL football. In 2000, there were 23,000 yard rushers. So there were basically 23 bell cow running backs in the NFL back in 2000. Ricky Waters, Tyrone Wheatley, Warwick Dunn, Charlie Garner, James Stewart for the Lowly Lions.
Warwick Dunn was a little guy too.
Yes, he was.
He was.
It was.
Not
it was
big.
Warwick Dunn and Mike Allstott were kind of the 1-2 combination, right?
Who used to be a nightmare for the Vikings.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, Allstott had a huge game in the game that Tampa Bay. I think it was 8 games into 98 beat the Vikings in Tampa.
Yes.
Allstott was an absolute. He was a terror. But he was
shoulder pads in NFL.
But he was
history.
Like. A, That dude was a fullback. Like, yeah, that guy was, not
the last true
running
fullback.
Back.
Yeah.
The last
that,
true fullback.
That guy could beat you up. Madden loved him.
Could I make a case real quick? There's, you know, everyone's just wringing their hands in consternation here the last couple days, and the Vikings got smoked in Philadelphia, et cetera. Actually, Alex Boone and I did a podcast last night, Trenches with Boone. I think it's posted now on the Purple Daily YouTube channel and podcast feed. And we were both, by the end of the episode, we criticized the things that need to be criticized. We were both kind of like, I don't know. He even said, and this is what I'm going to float to you guys. If two plays go differently, how do we view this game? If Irv Smith catches a wide open touchdown pass, which he should have, and I think usually would, and if Justin Jefferson, if I don't know if they score on that play, but like if he doesn't run the wrong route, or if he runs across the face of Darius Slay in that situation and they either score on that play or they just don't turn over and they eventually score. Mm-hmm. That if those two plays go differently and they lead to touchdowns, I get that you still need 3 points to make the math work here for a win, but let's say they lose 24-21 in a close game. And the thing that stands out is, oh, the the defense was kind of a train wreck early, but they shut the Eagles out in the second half, and the Vikings offense fought back, but it was a close loss. If those two plays go differently, how do you guys view the game?
I feel that then you at least showed a semblance of being able to overcome the adversity. That's my whole problem with this game. My whole problem with this game was the team didn't. When things go wrong, that's where I want to see you succeed, especially on the road. So that's the whole point. Because as we talked about Monday or Tuesday, those things are going to go wrong all the time. So I feel very differently. But the thing is, I challenge them to say, okay, you know what? Dude dropped the ball. Too bad. We're still going to score.
Yeah, and I think
that's
my
problem.
And I'm not trying to say we would do this, but then if they lose by three, that means they probably had an opportunity at the end to potentially march down the field. Did Kirk not deliver a fourth quarter comeback or a game-winning drive to put the team in position to tie the game? So then the goalposts, I think, do get moved a little bit with how we view it. But yeah,
that's,
I mean, but at the same time, in week one, if Christian Watson catches the first pass from Aaron Rodgers and it's 7-7, that game looks completely different too, right?
Yeah.
So
I think something too that happens is this is what the Cousins Crusaders love to scour the earth for everything possible to throw out in front of the bus before Kirk. That, oh, but look at these 100 things before we talk about Kirk. Let's talk about these 100 things. And to Judd's point, you're going to have drop passes. You're going to have mistakes. And Aaron Rodgers can listen to this, too, because he did this against the Vikings in week one, to Declan's point. Guys are going to make mistakes. Can you just flush it, get over it, and if the door is still open, still kick it down?
Right.
And it's almost like, you know, the way people treat it. Well, I mean, Irv Smith dropped that pass. What are they supposed to do? Well, they had like five other great opportunities after that to score points and to drive. And some of it was not on Kirk. Some of it was on Kirk. But it's this, the Vikings and fans have to get out of this mindset of, well, I mean, the offensive line wasn't perfect. What are you supposed to do? Oh, there was a drop pass. Go watch any other NFL game. This stuff happens in every game. The Dolphins were down by 21 points going into the fourth quarter on the road. They had already thrown multiple interceptions. And they said, you know what? Screw it. We're going to win this game. And it's not just on Tua. It's on Tua, coaching, receivers, everything.
But that's our
offensive
mindset.
Line.
That's the problem. Our mindset is, well, the Twins, I mean, you got 17 guys hurt. I mean, you can't win. That's okay, but let's examine it. The Vikings, you know, it's always something. That's why I continue to say offensively now, there are no excuses left. That offensive line, we warned you. And you said, you know what? We're fine. And so I'm going to trust you. You're fine. So I'm not going to use that now as a, well, look at the blocking.
This is part of the plan now. Yes. This offensive line is part of your plan.
And
much like the Twins pitching staff is part of your plan.
And these are highly detailed offensive people who made the decisions who, if you are going to trust them, you need to trust them and say, you know what? They're right. If it breaks down, that's not an excuse.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus, through the first 2 weeks, the Vikings pass blocking ranks 24th in the NFL, which is actually a slight uptick. They have allowed pressure, I believe, on 35% of dropbacks. I might be slightly off on that, but that's around league average. So they have been a slightly below league average pass blocking unit, according to a few different metrics. So.
And you said Bradbury's grade was actually pretty good for Sunday and pass protection, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, for the Monday night game. I think Ingram's wasn't, but I think Bradbury's was.
Yep. And Ingram, even this is the thing. It's like even when a lineman has a train wreck game where it's like, oh, my God, he had a low PFF grade. It's usually, all right, there were 30 or 35 dropbacks, and he allowed five or six pressures and maybe a few other. Maybe someone had to bail him out. Maybe his guy kind of gets passed, but Ingram bails him out or something. It's not that every single drop back you get. There were some clean pockets in that game. And there were some clean pockets where bad throws were made in the second half, too. So,
and the thing, too, and I think this was the case with a blitz on the third pick that Kirk threw after the Hicks interception, is this. There's going to be times where there's going to be intense pressure because of the blitz, and you have to have a plan. Like, it can't be, well, they blitzed and we didn't see that coming. That's not, no. Yeah. So, like, there's plays like that where it's going to be a blitz, there's going to be intense pressure. The line's not going to be able to cover for the whole thing. And now there has to be an adjustment made very quickly. And it can't be a pop-up pass into the front corner of the end zone that gets picked off by Darius Slay.
I find another nugget here, too, just for fun. So there is a pass blocking efficiency rating. So the Vikings, let's see here. Yeah, I'll hit you. Yeah, I'll hit you with that for sure.
Football. Go.
The Vikings pass block efficiency rating is tied for 28th so far, which is, again, none of these are good. I'm not trying to prop the Vikings offensive lineup as being great. But even with that, they have allowed pressure on 36% of dropbacks. So even being one of the, let's call it bottom five or seven pass blocking units in the NFL, depending on what measurement you want to look at, 2/3 of the dropbacks are clean. Now, some of those 2/3 are just quick hitting. Maybe it's a screen. Maybe it's a three-step drop or something. So if it's true pass sets, maybe it's only half of them are clean. But there's, you know, this is the plan. Like you said, this was the plan. They had 9 months to plan for this, and this is it. So,
Before we wrap up, too, by the way, I know Randy has Chill Boys as a sponsor. Well, I just got word, too, that there's a little discount for first-time customers on Chill Boys. So if you want a pair of Chill Boys, use promo code SCORE15, and you will get 15% off your first purchase of that beautiful bamboo fabric, baby. SCORE15.
That's SKOR15.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get some discounted bamboo fabric to wrap around. That's right.
Mm. Can we talk about potentially trying to start a fight in a TJ Maxx?
That sounds like I don't want any of that smoke personally.
No,
I agree with
no
that.
No offense to TJ Maxx, but I don't know if old Macadac is going to have
great
a chance
jingle,
in that
though.
Fight.
Their old school one. I haven't heard it in years. It was great.
Great
if you want to go pick a fight in a TJ Maxx and have someone document it for content purposes, listen. You're a grown man.
I feel like a TJ Maxx is not the place to see a guy in a Deuce Staley jersey and try and start an altercation.
No, I agree with that. I'm just generally not looking to pick fights with Philadelphia fans in person. Now, like, I will troll them on the show and on social media, but as soon as Vinny from the south side of Philadelphia shows up face-to-face in a store or in my neighborhood,
no.
I am curling up in the fetal position.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Duck.
So, we're going to pause here, and then we'll get to some Write That Down predictions and an accountability session on Mackie and Judd.
Most sports talking heads make predictions, then hope you forget about how wrong they were. But not Mackie and Judd.
Write this down.
This is the Big Leagues, where we own our terrible predictions.
Write that down.
And keep track of each other's batting averages. It's Write That Down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
With Mackie and Judd.
I think it's time for you to admit that you were wrong, Judd, Mackie,
Declan.
Okay, all right.
We'll do it twice today.
Hey, Declan. Yeah, I think
let's
we do
it twice
every Wednesday. I love that. As if we don't make fun of ourselves every Wednesday for how low our batting averages and completion percentages are. So you can throw it back in our face all we want. We're like the end of 8 Mile. We already know everything you have to say about us. That's how we roll on Wednesday episodes of Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily. And this Write That Down session, we are the only show in America that actually puts statistics next to our predictions. We are the most transparent talk show in America. And whether that's a risky thing for our careers and reputations, I guess it'll play out over time. But this episode of Write That Down is presented by our friends at Federated Mutual Insurance Company. When you're throwing predictions out there, and you're putting your career on the line, you could use a little risk management. Mm-hmm. You could use some protection, some frontline protection. I don't know if Federated would work with three knuckleheads on microphones, but they do work with all kinds of businesses in and around the state of Minnesota and outside. And they're all about, like I said, risk management, maximizing the success of your business by preventing and guarding against things that could ding it ultimately. Find out more about how Federated can help you at federatedinsurance.com, where it's our business to protect yours.
Write this down.
All right, boys, here's how Write That Down works. Three predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of batting averages and home runs. And listeners, if you want to participate as a guest listener predictor like Nate is about, you can send us a message through the Score North app. Who is ready to be held accountable?
We all are.
Raise your hand. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm not, but I'm going to be anyway against my will. So I want my veto. No. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Yeah, me. I'm ready.
I'm ready. Pretty good week for Judd here. You said Tanner Morgan will throw three or more touchdowns against Colorado.
Threw a few nice ones, too.
Tanner.
He's got it rolling pretty well.
Well, and you're playing for 8 years in a system. You know, I would hope you can be able to throw three touchdowns. I love Tanner Morgan. He's a friend of the show, okay? I'm just saying. And just he's been there
before. He is?
He likes
he's
us.
A friend of the show?
Yeah, he is likes, a friend of the show?
Yeah, he likes us.
Do you know this?
I've talked to him before. He's a nice guy.
I actually think he came on with Phil and I in 1978. Now that you bring it up, I think
his
he was a
year,
guest.
Yeah.
I think he was
year.
A guest
he
was in 1978.
Behind, you know, Brian Cupido, and you know he first was there.
Bell bottoms on, yeah. Hair long and flowing back.
No,
at the
he's
time.
Actually Brian Cupido's father. Yeah. I'm not sure if you if you knew that.
I am your father, Brian Cupido.
You also said the Gophers will cover the spread against Colorado, and it was a lofty 28.5 points, and that was. No match for this high-octane Gophers team.
For the Boats guy.
Colorado's pretty bad. Pretty bad.
God, they're awful.
All right. I said Adam Thielen will score his first touchdown of the season against the Eagles. Hmm. That didn't happen. Adam Thielen basically was a ghost until late in the second half of that game. Oh, rough week for the listeners here.
Boy. Oh, boy.
Jack said Greg Joseph will kick a game-winning field goal against the Eagles in week 2. Never had the chance.
I like where his heart was at, though. His thought process is good.
Yep. Nick said the Vikings will start the season 4-0.
Enter the club.
Yeah.
Alex said the Twins will win 90 or more games in a playoff series. Well, mathematically, they have been eliminated from 90-game potential. And Frank said, this should have come off the board a while ago, but Frank said, by the time sports start in 2022 for all men's teams, so like once the Viking season started, then this triggered, one of those men's teams will reach their championship. I think the last hope was probably, I guess, the Wild or the Timberwolves.
Wild.
And, well, no, because the Twins would have had to have, this is a prediction from like 2 or 3 years ago, so it's just, it's not going to happen, Frank. No. Sorry, Frank. All right, Declan, you said the Chiefs would beat the Chargers, but then you parlayed it with, and they will cover the 4.5. It was a 3-point win.
You got backdoored by.
Yeah, I did. Jeez. Herbert with a garbage time touchdown with that buffoon of a head coach that apparently could win coach of the year. I don't see that happening. So, yeah, thanks, Justin Herbert and Staley.
And so with that, Declan is still at 459 batting average with 13 home runs. Both lead the league, but objects in your mirror here. Oh. Judd is up to 398 with 8 home runs. I'm at 304 with 11 home runs. Listeners at 283 with 11 home runs. So both the batting average race and the home run race are wide open going into the final few months of the season. Judd all-time leads with 241 hits. Listeners lead all time with 30 home runs. So there's your accountability session here, boys. Let's get Nate in here. He is our guest listener predictor making his debut on Write That Down. Nate, what's going on, man? When did you first become a suffering Minnesota sports fan?
First time suffering. I believe it was the 1998 season. Uh-huh. You know, I'm 38 years old. I remember vividly Gary Anderson field goal. Oh, it was heartbreaking, man.
Did you cry? I cried. I was like 12. I definitely cried.
I was about 12. I don't think I cried, but I'll have to ask my mom that.
Yeah.
That is such a terrible way to start. Like, it's fitting, but it's like that is 15-1. And at halftime, it was like, this team is going to the Super Bowl. You think about all the colossal meltdowns that you could start with as a young, impressionable fan. That's got to be one of the most reach into your chest and rip your heart out moments that you could possibly have.
Yeah. I remember for Christmas, my mom got me the 1998 NFC Championship sweatshirt, and I wore that every day. And then to the ruining that season, it was heartbreaking.
My uncle had the hat, the 98 NFC Championship game hat. He was able to score one of those. didn't happen.
Well, that's kind of a, I would love to have that hat. Can mm-hmm. you, are there still like 1998 you know, NFC Central Division champions or something? I'm going to go look on eBay and find one of these.
There. Could be there.
Just crawling with lice. Yeah. You want my hat? I haven't worn that hat in years. I'll go up to the attic and get it. $100.
Oh, I would still probably wear it. I'll put a hairnet. Although I didn't even have any hair. Can you get lice if you have a bald head?
I think so.
You just,
maybe your beard might get lice.
Yeah, your beard. Yeah, that'd be kind of problematic.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's going on?
Mackie and Judd, we're on.
Hey, man.
All right, let's
get into the Write That Down predictions here. We're going to go around the room three times. We'll start with Nate, over to Judd, Declan, and then myself. So, Nate, you are the leadoff hitter.
Write this down.
Go ahead, sir.
All right. So, I'll leave this up to you, but I think this might be a home run. So I think Anthony Edwards and Cat will make all NBA first, second, or third team this coming season.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's
a home run.
Yeah. If all three of them, that is now, I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, ESPN put out their top 100 NBA players list and they unveiled 26 through 100 and there were three names missing from that list. Meaning that the Timberwolves are the only team in the NBA with three players in the top 25 of ESPN's list. Just if you're looking to crank the pressure up even more for this 2022-23 season.
Who would
season.
Do that? Who would crank the pressure up on a local team?
Who would set a high bar knowing that the team won't meet it and then crucify them for not meeting it?
I can't think of anyone
on this show who would
Pat
do that.
Pat Royce is my guess.
All right, over to Judd.
All right, with the Angels coming to town for three games this weekend, Shohei Ohtani will hit two or more home runs in those three games over the 3 days. And I believe as of now, he is slated to start Friday.
Oh, really?
So
I was going to sell those tickets. Now I might go.
He is slated, if you look at the projection, and it can change, especially with him, I think, but if you look at the projection, he is slated to be the starting pitcher on Friday. But I do believe at the plate he will hit two or more home runs.
I was going to sell my remaining Twins tickets, but now I might go to that one. That's worth going. Then it's because the other team is throwing.
Ohtani. Absolutely.
Yeah, dude. Part of the reason why you get tickets is to watch cool players from other teams.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
That would be a good last hurrah there.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that.
I'm so checked out of the Twins. I'm free too on
Friday. So, you know, if you want to
I thought I was sitting next to Luis Arraez at a restaurant last night. That's how checked out I am on the Twins. So, yeah.
It's possible that based on how checked out the Twins have become that you may have, he's like, I missed my flight to Kansas City.
Darn.
Dang, I'll go get some food at Red Rabbit, wherever Declan was. Smack Shack or whatever.
Write this down.
All right, over to Declan.
All right, I'm going to steal a Judd prediction that he's been kind of rifling off the last few weeks. Gophers are 3-point favorites at Michigan State. They are favorites in this game, even though they're on the road.
Yeah.
So the Gophers will cover the spread against Michigan State. I don't know if they'll win, but they will cover
like
the spread.
A big time sucker bet here. So I want to know, what was this line a week ago before the Gophers beat the crap out of a bad team and before Michigan State went on the road and lost to a good team?
Probably
in Washington.
Probably 5 or 6, right?
Michigan State would have been favored.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I probably would have been 5 or 6 to Michigan State. That it would probably have been pretty decently on them. But now that they've lost and the Gophers are killing non-conference teams, I understand why it swings. But I think the Gophers covered the spread against Michigan State.
This is one of those where I think the line has moved. I don't know if it's moved 8 points or if it's moved 4 points. But in fact, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. This line is ridiculous. And I hope the Gophers win this game. I want the Gophers to win. If they lose, I don't think it ruins their chances entirely to win the division. Mm. But there is no way the Gophers were a 3-point favorite in this game 8 days ago. So I think there's been a huge overreaction to Michigan State losing a tough primetime road game against a top 25 team. Well, they weren't at the time, but they're a top 25 team. And the Gophers just beating the brakes off bad teams. Plus, the Gophers lost Ottman Bell. So, kids, fade the Gophers this week.
Wow.
Fade the Gophers.
Wow.
The Gophers will not cover the -3. Yeah,
nice way to jump out of the boat, dude.
Well, this is great. I get to root for the Gophers to win, but if they lose, I get to write that down point. So, Fade the Gophers. They will not. They will not cover the 3-point spread.
PJ is so disappointed in you right now.
They could still win the game and not cover. I could actually get both if they win by two or one. I guess.
But okay. PJ Fleck is done with you. So is Tanner.
Okay, I think PJ Fleck. I don't think PJ Fleck would. If I walked into his office and stuck my hand out, I think he would call for security. I don't think he has any idea who I am. So all right, back to Nick. Your second prediction. I'm sorry, Nate. My bad.
Oh, that's okay.
That's very good of you.
Sorry. Yeah, that was the first
Mike,
time I pulled
just
a
go ahead, Mike.
Some time.
Yeah,
come on.
Go ahead with your.
Go ahead.
All right, Bob. Let's go. Yeah, come on, Jim.
All right. So number two. So I live in Massachusetts now. So I got a shout out to when the Vikings play New England Thanksgiving Day. So I think the Minnesota Vikings will beat the New England Patriots and cover the spread, whatever the spread may be, on the week leading to the game.
Okay.
So they'll beat them.
I think maybe we'll just pick like a consensus line for when we make the picks on Purple Daily, we can use that consensus line for this prediction.
Okay.
If that works for the room.
Yeah, that's cool.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Sounds great.
All right, John, nice prediction there. That's good.
Yep. Way to go, Ted. You're really tearing it up today. Very proud of you.
Boy, Michael is on fire with his predictions.
I feel like
here.
We're longtime friends, best buddies.
Yeah.
Boy, Jeremiah is just rocking it.
All right.
All right, Judd.
Write this down. And I'm going to give myself, I'll start this prediction by saying I'm going to give myself some leeway here. But Rocco Baldelli will not be the Twins' manager by July of 2023. Off the record, I think he deserves to be fired. I don't think he's going to be. I don't think that they're going to make any real substantial changes after this year. But that being said, with the way things are trending, I also don't think that they get off to a great start next year. And I think he's fired. So I think he gets fired by July 2023.
When's the last time? Has this franchise ever made a mid-season managerial change? It's certainly not since Tom Kelly started.
So
he took over for Ray Miller.
Ray Miller got fired in whatever it was, but it was in season.
84,
and then
85.
TK lasted until he quit. Gardenhier got fired after a season. Molitor, the same thing. So, yes, the last time was 86, late in the 86 season. It might have been September when they fired Ray and hired Tom Kelly.
Okay.
But
Carl Polad was the owner. So the Polad family has done it before, but it's been almost 40 years.
But Terry Ryan just wouldn't and didn't. And I think that these guys, if they get off to a slow start, are going to panic. And I think Rocco's the first to go. And look, it can be, this team is so stupid, it can be justified. Like beyond whatever they're doing.
Okay. Now you're trying to shoehorn. Scenes. You wanted to do this segment earlier today.
No,
now,
I'm not going to shoehorn
You've been dying to
I'm
shoehorn a fire
fired.
Rocco
I'm
segment
he's
into the
get
show.
Fired. No, I'm saying July 2023. I'm out.
Griffin,
just
Jack.
For the audience,
just listen to Ted.
We made a decision on the show, not out of like spite, but just the audience has not been responding to Twins content lately because everyone's just sick and apathetic with this franchise. And behind the scenes, Judd has been angling for like one or two more. Judd is still so mad at this team. He wants to do a Fire Rocco show. Yes. And we'll probably do that. I think we should do that at some point. But that's where this is. You're trying to shoehorn your
segment. And you know, it's my prediction. It's my prediction. I'm using it for my prediction. He's going to be fired by July of next year.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, Dex.
I'm going to continue the Gopher football predictions. So I'm rowing the boat Sky Imago Gophers. At some point between now and October 31st, so basically after the Michigan State game and through the month of October, the Gophers will be a ranked team. They will be a top 25 ranked team between now and the end of October. So they could potentially even sneak into the rankings if they beat Michigan State. I don't know if that'll happen.
They'll be in for sure. Right? Hey, if they win this weekend, you win this one for sure.
So between now and the end of October, at some point, the Gophers will be a ranked team. And the AP poll or coaches poll, I'm not specifying which one, but they'll be a ranked team.
Right, so any poll, basically.
Yeah, any
Bob,
poll.
Bob's poll
AP or USA
WalterFootball.com.
I'm going to do the two main ones, not, you know, Gopher daily Gopher Hole power rankings, and if they have them top 25, I'm not counting that.
Yeah. What are you holding right now?
A baseball bat. I'm bunting. I'm just laying down a bunt.
How you hold a bunt. You don't want to put your hand in front of the really bat bad. When you're bunting.
You'll break your fingers.
It's very thin, so my hand is back here.
Judd, were you the kid in youth baseball that you would put your whole fist around the bat when you were trying to bunt?
Fundamentally sound. Here's what you do. Jim Gantner bat, okay?
Okay, let's full screen.
You get the hand right there, so I'm not putting my hand. This is the problem. This is where you break your hand. Hold the bat like this, and then deaden the ball with the barrel. No. I am as fundamentally sound as you can get.
This is a bunt for Declan.
I'm saying this is the ultimate. This is one of the. It's fine too. It's a fine pick. I'm just saying it's the ultimate bunt because they are going to be a ranked team. They're going to accidentally become a ranked team, if nothing else.
Well, even if they lose this game, it'll put them further back in the line. But then they should go on a run of like three straight wins. Yep. Right now in the AP poll, Michigan State is the first team on the outside receiving votes. So Michigan State's basically 26th. And then the Gophers are receiving votes around like 33rd. So, and Wisconsin is further back than that. So.
That quarterback.
Trying to find Iowa in here, and I can't find Iowa.
There was a stat that the marching band going into last week's game has marched more yards on the field than the Iowa offense. There's a whole Reddit thread. It was incredible. Marching band has logged more offensive yard on their own football field than the actual Iowa Hawkeyes offense.
It's incredible. That offense atrocious.
It's hilarious. And you know, and they're still going to find a way to grind like a
9-win season.
13-9 win game over the Gophers or something.
No, the Gophers are going to blast them here.
They should.
I'd be concerned. Here they're going to blast them into the sun.
They should.
Write this down.
All right, I think we're back to the old Macadac here. Write this down. I think this might be a home run. So right now, AFC South odds to win division. The Colts are favorites still. The Titans are second. The Jaguars are third favorites in here. Depending on which sports book, they're like 3 or 4 to 1. So I think this would be a home run considering where they're coming from. I'm going to get out in front in week 3 saying the Jaguars are going to win the division.
Yeah, that's a home run.
They're going to go from one of the worst teams in football to leaping over the Titans, the Colts. They're going to win that division.
Yes.
That is a pretty bad division. But
it's awful.
That's a solid knock, though. That's a solid home run.
You're picking a division winner.
Yeah, okay.
Write this down.
All right, back to Nate for your third and final prediction.
All right. So this is a shout-out to the Minnesota Golden Gopher football team.
Nice.
I am bullish on Mo Ibrahim. Yep. And I looked this up. He needs 1,051 yards to set the single-season Gopher rushing record set by Darrell Thompson. Mm. So write that down. Mo Ibrahim will be a top 5 power 5 running back in total rushing yards in the regular season and in playoffs. And by the end of the season, he will bypass Darrell Thompson as the all-time Minnesota Gopher football leader in rushing yards.
Fired up.
Somebody believes. Declan believes.
All for it.
Phil's like, fade the Gophers this Saturday.
I did not predict them to lose. I am fading them against the spread.
But this is the first time you've ever said fade the Gophers in when things are optimistic.
This is a lot of people do this, I think, with the Vikings, where they love the Vikings and they root for the Vikings, but then they put some money against the Vikings so that either way they're going to feel pretty good about themselves. It's a hedge. Mm. But, he looks, man – I'm trying to figure out what kind of an NFL prospect is he going to be after different injuries and things. Is he just one of those college bell cows and, you know, he's going to be a 5th or 6th round pick? Yeah. Or does he have actual potential to make noise in the NFL?
Oh. I wonder what Randy thinks from College Girl.
We should have him put some scouting tape on. Yeah. Go
he's
look
probably
at the film.
Too drunk right now.
Yep. Well, Nate, since you got this platform here, this life-changing moment on Mackie and Jez, or anyone in your life you'd like to thank that brought you to this pinnacle point?
Yeah, so I have a couple people. I want to first thank my fiance, Livy, who I met in Boston while travel nursing.
She's very happy she got there. Hi, Livy.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and secondly, I want to thank my father. He went to the University of Minnesota for 12 years, diehard Gopher fan. A lot of memories going to Gopher football and basketball games. And the best game that we went to was the Penn State game a couple years ago when they were when they beat them. And then lastly, my one of my best friends, JT, for just cradling me when I need it, when the goal, you know, when Minnesota sports teams mess it up, screw it up.
So your father, who went to the U of M for 12 years, is either a doctor or a great partier.
I'd love to say a great partier, but that's it. He's very very studious, man.
Awesome, man. Well, great stuff. We'll definitely get you on again sometime, and good luck with your predictions, Nate.
Great stuff.
Long time fan. You guys are the best.
Thank you, dude.
Thanks, man.
We appreciate your support. Awesome. We'll definitely get him on again sometime. By the way, these great predictions by Nate, presented by our friends at Hail Ace. So hopefully we're emerging from hail season here at some point, but you never know.
Yesterday I saw in Woodbury there was golf-sized hail. Golf-sized hail hit the East Metro yesterday. So there's still hail coming out. It was 90 degrees. I think we set a record for temperatures yesterday in the Twin Cities, and now it's getting colder. So that's my amateur weather report, but I do know that Hail Ace can help you out with that hail damage repair. So they will work with insurance companies too to handle your claim from start to finish. And the hail repairs are zero cost to you. They'll save your deductible. They'll also provide rental car reimbursement. You can book your appointment now at hailace.com. It's an easy to use website. Book your appointment now. It's hailace.com.
All right. Final lap here. Judd.
Write this down.
Fire away.
So the Gophers start the Big Ten season on Saturday in East Lansing against Michigan State. But they have home games in the Big Ten against Purdue, against Rutgers, against Northwestern, and Iowa. Hence, it's almost a bunt, but I'm going to take it. The Gophers will sweep through their home schedule of Big Ten games. They will not lose.
It's not really a bunt, but it is funny that you conceded that it was going to be a bunt after mocking Declan while holding a bat for 5 minutes on the show.
You know what?
Well, you literally held a bat up to mock Declan,
and with
knowing that you had a bunt in your back
expertise
pocket.
Expertise showing the proper way to bunt.
You weren't.
I was helping the kids. I did not have my hand around the thing. That bat is very thin, okay? The handle of that bat is very thin. But let me show you again, kids. That's right. When you go to bunt, which your coach will never ask you to do because bunting is seen as being for geeks and old school, don't put your hand around the bat. Gophers will sweep the Big Ten season at home. They won't lose.
So, Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern, Iowa. I could see
Purdue and Iowa, I guess, are probably the teams that could test them.
Yeah, didn't Northwestern just get beat by some clown
college? They've lost back-to-back to clown schools.
Well, they lost to Duke and Southern Illinois.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they get Miami of Ohio this weekend. The Gophers,
and Nebraska.
Penn State's going to be – they have two really tough road games, Michigan State, Penn State. Wisconsin's always a tough road game, so I guess those are the three games. But, I don't think that's a bunt. If they win those four home games, it is the Gophers we're talking about. They generally have, a letdown game at some point.
Look, guys, I got high hopes, okay? I'm rowing the boat. I'm seeing great things. And if they don't achieve those great things, you just wait because there will be an evening Judd flaming them.
Evening Judd here, PJ Fleck.
Judd's favorite pastime, holding high expectations for teams. And then when they don't meet those expectations, savage them across multiple platforms at Score North.
That's right. Coaching change needs to be made at Mark Coyle.
Evening Judd, sponsored by Shirley Brewing Company. All right, last one for me. I'll put this. I think Judd also has this on the board as well, but I'm going to join him in the party. And covering from my Declan wants someone's ass fired, I'll just put it in writing too, that Matt Rhule will be the first NFL coach fired this season.
Poor guy.
Matt Rhule. Go back to Temple.
Is he really a poor guy?
Yeah,
I think he's just
not
a
poor
buffoon.
Guy. No.
I think he's a complete buffoon.
You're probably right. He's going to wind up making a lot of money for three or four train wreck seasons, and then he'll go back to, he'll go get a college, he'll go get a low level Power Five college coaching job, or go get,
He is potentially a Saban assistant. Saban loves to take guys who are high profile and get bounced.
I love that prediction.
And then pick their brain for anything They know, but he doesn't give them jobs where it might be a threat. It's just like, hey, Matt Rhule, tell me everything that you learned.
It's smart. Yeah, I think you're. You should put that on the record at some point. I don't think I've made this prediction yet, but because I look through and I don't, maybe somebody else did, but Carlos Correa will opt out of his current contract.
I don't think so.
Now, is there a chance he could opt out of the contract and then sign a new one with the Twins? That's a longer term deal. Yes, but he's kind of pouring it on at the end of the year here. Everyone, rightfully so, was criticizing him for, you know, not living up to expectations early, and he hasn't been great in the clutch. And I think at some point in the last few weeks, him and Scott Boras sat down and said, listen, guy, going to need you to ramp up the power a little bit here, get that batting average up. And so he's now up to 21 home runs. He's now up to a .288 batting average, a .365 OBP, and an OPS that's well above league average. And he's been worth over four wins above replacement. Yeah. So the last two seasons for him are plenty for another team, the Cubs or somebody, to give him a contract. So all of you people that mocked and ridiculed Score North and myself for suggesting months ago, hey, if you don't think you're good enough to make the playoffs, or if your plans are to trade for a damaged arm pitcher at the deadline, you might be better off trading Carlos Correa before he bolts for no compensation. Yeah.
But you know what it did? It gave Bally Sports North a heck of a pregame segment last night. Coming up next, we compare Correa to Babe Ruth. That's straight ahead.
What were they? You texted us last night. Opened, so they were doing a double play turning segment?
They literally opened the game telecast with Dick and Justin doing an opening segment on Correa and the Twins. It was Carlos Correa Appreciation Day for them. They did a segment,
which is smart. It's make him feel good and get him to opt in for another year of the contract.
They did a segment. They before they went to break and came back with the first pitch. Yes, they did a segment on the Twins are turning double plays. They turned a lot of double plays in Cleveland. Just wish it had been more. It is great.
The good old tweets exposed for Bally's was when going into 2019, or they may have been posted in 2020, that Max Kepler and Aaron Judge had been like the exact same player, like up to that point, and Max Kepler has a higher WAR and OPS, and Aaron Judge is literally putting together one of the best statistical seasons of last 50 years, essentially.
Did he hit his 60th home run 60th. Last night?
Yeah.
60th. A college kid caught the ball and said, it's his accomplishment. I want nothing for it, and gave him the ball.
Wow.
That's incredible.
What do you think that ball is worth? The 61st and the 62nd are going to be worth a lot.
Yeah.
Darren Revelle tweeted something yesterday.
He said like 100,000 or something.
Yeah.
You got to get something, right, kid? Don't you got to get something?
Well, I hope he got, I mean, I would have got
it. Kid an autograph or something.
Well, nope. It's not like the guy in Cleveland on Saturday who held the Matt Wallner home run ball hostage until he got a Wallner signed bat and a Correa signed bat. And his first ask was, I want to throw out the first pitch of the Guardians game. Mike Herman looked like he was going to strangle him.
Mike Herman looked so
annoyed. I don't
think
Mike has a lot of patience ordinarily in life.
Mike looked like
he was going to kill him.
I saw a screenshot of Herm down there negotiating. Come on, dude. Well, okay, they invite anyone and their cousin to throw out the first pitch at baseball
season
games, right?
Holders.
They invite corporate partners. Yeah, season ticket holders.
I agree,
Well, so that's not that hard.
And you know what? If I caught a ball that somebody wanted back, I'm not saying I'd be a jerk about it, but I mean, I wouldn't just say, Matt Wallner autographed baseball, fantastic. I mean, the kid might not make it. Who knows, right?
You're saying you'd play hardball?
So I would play harder. I would play hardball to a certain point. Now, I wouldn't be a total jerk about it, but I'd want, like, you know, a Correa signed bat. That's fine to me.
Okay, maybe this is a controversial take, but I don't know that I need the ball if I'm Matt Wallner.
Well, is
it really that big of a deal?
That's a whole other major league run, man.
I plan to hit a bunch more bombs in the big leagues.
I think you want your first. That's pretty damn cool. It's your first home run.
You know
run.
What?
But
decide with
hit.
Phil. But decide with Phil if a Guardians fan is going to be a jerk about it. I might just say, you know what? That's cool,
dude. Just cool. The joke's on you. I'm Matt Wallner, so
I don't
you
want
can just
it.
Have the ball. Yeah.
Brian Buchanan, I got to get my first home run. Why, dude?
Also, I tend to be more of a minimalist myself. I'm not looking for clutter. I don't need a bunch of things and trinkets and stuff.
That's going to separate the two of us.
Yeah. Hey, Dex, give me that bobblehead.
I got bobblehead. I mean, look. Yeah, I got a lot of bobbleheads here.
Judd has saved every single Twins press box giveaway since 1986.
I basically have been told there is no more room for your collection of bobbleheads.
It's Scott Stachowiak hat night tonight at the Metrodome, you know, sponsored by Dairy Queen.
You know, you guys, okay, laugh all you want, but where else do you get the Dougie Baseball blowing
that's
a bubble?
One. Oh, it's great. Okay? They should have put some dirt stains on that thing to make
stirrups?
It more realistic.
Yeah, we got stirrups. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at this. This is a great bobblehead. I love bobbleheads.
It's good. All right, well, there's your Write That Down session and your
Write this down.
Accountability session as well. The only show in America that puts statistics next to our predictions, putting our careers on the line every single week. We do the same on Purple Daily. And Judd, I need you to send me your pigskin pecking order rankings here in the next hour or so we can show you where we think the Vikings rank going into week three. All right, that's a wrap on Mackie and Judd. See you guys for Reckless Speculation Thursday tomorrow.